Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Redeem your Ladbrokes on free bet spins or even cash in for real money. That's Ladis Faction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladis Faction, here's the T's and C's. Let's rock!
18 plus. Participate in selected promotions to get Ladbrokes. Redeem them for offers or rewards. Ladbrokes expire. For T's and C's apply. Take time to think. Gamble away or die for.
We are continuing to look for Sebastian. We are continuing to chase down every lead that comes in, turn over every rock, go down every rabbit hole. We will find him. That is my only goal. And I appreciate everybody that's there with me on this goal of finding my son and bringing him home. It's been a very trying year. I know a lot of y'all I've seen in chat. You guys are not happy with some of the interviews that are going on, but there are people out there that are obstacles, and that's it. They're just obstacles, you know. Giving them any type of validation is not worth Sebastian's time, and I appreciate everybody that does debunk everything that they sit there and come out with. It's trying, very trying. Nobody really wants to sit there and understand what's going through my mind every day. You know, when I do sleep, Sebastian's there. When I wake up, he's not. You know, some people have been sitting there going that they hope that Sebastian haunts his mother. I'm not into that. Because I had nothing to do with his disappearance, and every time I close my eyes, he's there. I wake up having conversations with him. I relive every moment that I spent with him, every time I go to sleep. And the fact is that whoever has him, if you're watching this, if you're seeing this, please just drop him off somewhere where there's a phone where he can go in and tell him, please, my name is Sebastian Rogers. I need you to call 911. It's the only thing I care about is finding my son and bringing him home.
Take a deep breath, buddy.
I do have a special guest this evening. Some of you in chat have already guessed who it is. I'd like to bring up Jennifer Coffin-Daffin.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Seth.
Hello, Miss Jen.
You know, this is so, I can't even relate, and I know everybody in the audience that hasn't. lost a child, and I know there's many in this audience that have lost a child. We can't imagine what you're going through, but we can see it, Seth, and all of us are going to continue to use our platforms to bring Sebastian front and center, and to hopefully someday he'll be found and your pain will go away.
You know, I was talking to somebody earlier today, and, you know, he disappeared at 15. He's now 16, and it's like time stops. Time just stops. And if I found him tomorrow, it's trying to pack everything that I have missed doing for him for the last year, and then just playing catch up. Like, disappears at 15. He's 16 now. I haven't even taught him how to shave. You know, when he would watch me in the bathroom when I shaved, and he was starting to grow a mustache, and he just didn't like it. He was like, I don't like my mustache. And it's like, well, I like mine. You know, if you shave it, it's going to grow in thicker. You know, teaching him how to use facial cleansers and the little machine. Like, I have pictures because teenager started to get acne. So, you know, I'm not done teaching him. And the fact is that somebody has my son, and they're stopping me from continuing to teach him. And just not done. I'm not done living my life, teaching him and enjoying my life next to him. At 15, I'm supposed to get 3 more years before he's, you know, technically able to move out of the house. And now he's 16. Now we're down to 2 years. And it's like, I find him at 16, he would just probably have to stay at my house until he's 20 now, maybe 25. I don't know if I'm going to ever let him leave. Once I find him, like, he's always, I've always told him that he has a room at my house no matter what. But now I think it's more along the lines of, you're going to have to stay. You know, I build a house, he's just going to have a house wherever I'm at. You know, you want to move out, that's fine. We'll build another one right behind the house. That way I know where you're at. That way I know that he's safe. And right now, the worst thing in the world is not knowing if he's safe. Not knowing that he's getting fed. Not knowing that he's properly clothed. Not knowing that he's getting the friendship that he deserves. Being able to talk to somebody that understands him. And it's just, it's horrible because I don't know what he's going through. And watching her interviews just made me sick because it's about them. I'm going through hell. I know I am, but I also know where I'm at. People know where I am. And we don't know where he is. He is my grace, and he has been my grace since he was born. And I just want to find him.
Seth, it's definitely abundantly obvious to me and Jen and everybody else that's watching that when you have an innocent parent that truly doesn't know where their child is, it's hard to fight back the tears. It's not hard to produce a tear. And I think that your interviews are telling over and over and over again. It's never been about you. It's always been about your son.
You know, I didn't know I could cry this much. I didn't know anybody could cry this much. And it's like every day I feel like maybe I'm cried out. And I won't do it. But walk by his room, or I just see something that's his, and it's like, I don't want to move it. Things need to stay where they were at when he left. So when he comes back, it's where he left it. And
Jen, I want to go to you for a minute and give Seth a chance to just decompress for a second. First thing I want to say is I think a lot of times, Jen, that people take having access to you for granted because you've now become this quasi content creator. And I think that, you know, having access to you, being able to speak to you, being able to get your opinions on things, a lot of people take that for granted because you're one of us now, so to speak. But I want everybody that's listening tonight to understand, and Jen, I can speak on a personal level. You know, you and I became friends working another case together and have maintained a friendship, you know, all the way through today. And I'm blessed to call you a friend. But beyond the personal side of that, guys, when you have somebody with Jen's resume that has done what she's done, it doesn't really matter whether you like her or you like her channel or any of that. And quite frankly, Jen doesn't care any more than we do. But what I think that you have to be grateful to have is her as a resource and listening to her take on things, because quite frankly, it's not an uneducated take. It is a very, very educated take. It's based on years of experience. It's based on resources that have been available to her over time. And, you know, Jen, I'm just eternally grateful that we have you as an ear, as a friend, as someone that when we don't understand something, we can call you and say, hey, you know, does this sound right to you? You know, this is what we've heard. This is what we've learned in our communication with law enforcement, you know, in general. Does this seem right? You know, and you're able to talk us through. Yes, it makes sense, and this is why. Maybe it doesn't make sense, and this is why. But, you know, again, we're grateful to have you as a friend and a resource, and just want all of your audience that follows you daily and all of Seth's audience to know that, man, what a privilege to have you on talking about Seth and his son and what you see and feel and believe based on your education and all your years' experience. So I'm going to turn it over to you and just let you talk for a minute.
Well, Tony, I just want to say, first of all, that is very humbling. I'm humbled to be here because if it were my child, I don't know if I would have the wherewithal that Seth has shown through this. And I mean that sincerely. I haven't walked one step in his shoes, but sadly, I've walked alongside of so many parents over the years still that are in those shoes. And it's really something to watch the strength, to watch the focus be on Sebastian Wayne Drake Rogers, even with all the noise. And so bringing it back to him, I want to say that with all the cases of the missing, and we're all very active in all these cases, I post about them daily and talk about them daily. And Sebastian is so special. I don't want to say anything negative about any of the other missing. I just want to say, how did he become so special? And I think a big part of it, to start, Seth, was your honesty about him, your rawness, moments good, moments bad, but always moments honest. And you brought him to life, I think, for everyone. The pictures that were chosen, starting with the snake, I mean, just the draw of that. I mean, for me personally, we had a ball python named Jackie. My son is the exact same age as Sebastian. And for all of us that have a child and a son, particularly one that age right now, of course, this is so touching. But not only that, it's like the life in his eyes. I posted because I had seen for the first time, I heard his voice with that green tea. And I got to tell you, that moment was tough, and it had to be tough for anybody who has a heart. Because you could see that exactly how you talked about him, that you were just honest. You're like, he's kind of quirky. He's funny. He, you know, is interesting. And
so that leads me to my next question. I don't want to cut you off, but you walked right into it.
Uh-huh.
You and I were talking on the phone the other day, and we were trying to wrap our brains around what exactly it was. You know, you and I have talked about Joe Petito many times, has talked about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white girl effect. And, you know, you don't often see a 15-year-old young man that captures the hearts of America like Sebastian has. So what do you think has made everybody get so entrenched with, I'll say, finding this young man, because I want to believe that that's what most people are here for.
That's what most people are here for. 98% of everybody here is here for that. And going back to a few of those things I said, but I think the other piece, this has truly become, I think for many, a mystery, if you will. To me, I don't really look at it that way. But I think a lot of people think, how in the world did this young man just disappear? And this gorgeous smile, his eyes that light up a room, all of that, you know, Tony and Seth, you could tell he's just a special, fun, vivacious young man. And our hearts go out. Does autism play a part in that? I think yes, because anytime you know that there's someone with special needs that are missing, it's even more special because they're more vulnerable. They're less worldly. So now you have somebody who's a teen, only 15, and vulnerable. It makes all of us even more worried and concerned. Yeah. You put it all together, and Tony, I'm going to say this, and Seth, this isn't just the United States, the world cares about your son. The world is posting. The world is saying his name, hoping someone saw something.
Well, you mentioned hearing his voice with the green tea, and you know, something I didn't even talk to you about before the interview, but you're going to get to hear his voice again tonight, and it's going to be in a way that is so raw that I don't think there'll be a dry eye in the house. But, you know, I want everybody to understand that I believe that when you come on the Father's Channel to hear the Father in the raw, with raw emotions, talking about his son, I do believe that's a privilege. I don't believe it's a right. And these are personal things he's sharing. This is a vulnerability he's sharing. And I just don't want anybody to take that for granted, because I can tell you, you guys came tonight to hear from the Father, not from Jen and myself, but you can see that Seth is not doing well. And, you know, he doesn't like me sharing his personal business, but I can tell you the last few days have been a real struggle. And while we're on that subject, we've got a lot of content creator friends that religiously call and talk to Seth and check on him and, you know, just ask him how he's doing. And you guys know who you are. I wanted to thank you for that. And, you know, Seth, we'll give the mic back to you. Unless you're not ready, buddy.
You know,
Jen, where do you think we're at in the case right now, Jen?
You know, I tell you, in listening, obviously watching everything any of us that are invested in this case are doing, right, is getting your hands on everything, especially since it's you know, been a year ago, the 25th, the last time he was seen, the 26th, when he was reported. There's been a lot in mainstream media now, and a lot to watch and digest, and a lot of very interesting assertions, I think, that were to me quite perplexing.
And can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
Have you ever had a missing persons case where people are getting threats? They're just looking for him, where people can't even, you can't even be sure that your vehicle is going to be safe if you stop and you start searching somewhere. You're going to get, people get threatened. I mean, Nick and Dog's team, $100,000, you know, dollar bounty for each person's head. I mean, this kind of stuff is just ridiculous. You know, I would.
It is ridiculous. And really what needs to happen is law enforcement needs to go in. It's kind of like, remember the school shootings right now? They're happening and young ones are doing it. And for years, law enforcement overlooked 12-year-olds that said, I want to blow up the school, or an 11-year-old, I want to shoot up the school. And they just said, oh, he doesn't mean it. Tommy doesn't mean it. Well, now that they're coming to life, right? Now, if you say that, I don't care whether you're 9, you're going to get arrested. 10, 11. I mean, I can't believe the age of people that they're pulling in. I shouldn't say I can't believe it. They're doing the right thing, because this is the only way. And this equates to this situation. It is time for the terroristic threat statute to be used in these cases, that if you threaten any sort of physical harm, if you harass, if you stalk, you have to use those statutes, and you have to you know, possibly levy charges, but certainly have law enforcement come down and talk to these people. It's outrageous.
You know, it's like a stupid John Grisham novel. Like, I happen to like John Grisham. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of his books. You know, Clive Cussler. Sebastian even reads Clive Cussler. I've got a whole bunch of his hardback books. Sebastian reads these. I read them. I mean, it's just, it's literally like right out of, it's out of a novel. And I tell you what, it's horrible. It gives me a different perspective when I read these books now of what that person's going through. And it doesn't even begin to touch what Sebastian's going through. Because we don't know. That's the unknown. We don't know where he is. We don't know what he's going through. And that just scares the shit out of me. Excuse my language. It's just, I've never been a person that's been scared of anything. And now I'm scared because I don't know what my son's going through. And that frightens me. It just,
Well, I think all of us, Seth, especially you as his father, for heaven's sakes, but I think that's the fear we all have, right? That's another reason why everybody is so engaged, is as you start to think of, you know, what he could have gone through, what he could be going through, just everything that young man, I mean, he's been gone a year now. And, you know, I understand where you're coming from, Seth.
What's worse is being told to go look at this or go look at that by my connects, and then getting the information, going through over 200 pages of notes and seeing what was going on in his life that I wasn't part of. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, these reports that we got, and I'm not talking about CPS reports, those are bad enough. But then these other reports, I gave them to one of my psychologist friends, and I had this individual go over them, and they were just like, it's night and day between your house and their house. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't understand how a child can live in your house, how your child could live in the house and you not interact with your child. That's supposed to be your flesh and blood.
Well, Seth, we can understand a little bit of that because we had an opportunity to see behind the curtain with the Texas Roadhouse video. That was interesting to me. We got a chance to pull the curtain open when, you know, she thought no one was watching, and we got to see the detachment for ourselves. We got to see
that is normal. That's what these reports actually told me was that's normal in the house.
I agree, but I'm saying we actually got to watch it.
Yeah, well, and 287 pages, Jen. So if you can imagine, we have everybody says, well, the father wants to sling mud because of these CPS reports. And, you know, this could be this, this could be that. But I'll tell you what can't be this or that is 52 weeks from February of 23 till February of 24. One counseling meeting per week for 52 weeks with an average of 5 to 6 pages per week per meeting explaining everything that was going on inside of that home, and more powerfully quoting Sebastian. So imagine being a father and going through the last 52 weeks inside of that home and listening to what your son had to say about that. It's indescribable.
What hurts me even more is the fact that he didn't tell me. I don't know why. I thought I was there for him. And for some reason, he didn't tell me everything that was going on.
He was just afraid, Seth. He was afraid. And, you know, no matter what.
He should have never been afraid. My son should have never been afraid of anything.
I can't.
Well, Seth.
But that's normal. I'm just saying it's normal, especially children. And I don't know if they mentioned anything about this, but children will protect their parents, good, bad, or the ugly. And I think that that was probably a product of that, not wanting to say anything disparaging to you about his mom.
Well, and look at this through a child's lens, Seth. You had Sebastian 2 days of every 14 days. That's correct, right?
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes three. God. Sometimes three.
Okay. So you've got a child that is living in an unhealthy environment for, you know, 6/7 of the time. And he was probably terrified in the time he got to spend to you that if he, you know, we've heard some of the stories about how he got chastised for reaching out to his school and reaching out to CPS workers and told that he was overreacting and this and that. Well, imagine knowing that he only had you for 2 days and then the other 12 days of that 14 days, he has to go back into that environment. So through a child's lens, he's going to do everything he can do to make the majority of his time, which is the other 12 days, go as smooth as possible. And here's what he knows. He knows that if he goes to school, that he may or may not get protection from what's going on at home at school. But he's comfortable at least talking to them and telling them that. But he knows if he comes to his daddy and tells his daddy what's going on and he's not taken out of that home, then it's going to be a catastrophe inside of that home. So you have to look at it through a child's lens, and it would be very, very difficult for that child to come to the guy that he knows things would blow up with if he shared that with. So, you know, just like Jen said, I mean, it's very, very difficult for a child to tell on a parent. I think he was trying. He was reaching out for help. I think there's some entities that failed him. for sure.
Failed him.
And well, you didn't fail him.
I mean, I look at hindsight's 20/20, and I see things, and it's like I should have recognized it, and I didn't.
Hindsight's 20/20, Seth. You didn't know. You didn't have those reports. You didn't have that information. You can't beat yourself up. I know you're beating yourself up probably about so many things that's, you know, happened so often, but you just can't. You just need to redirect that sadness and energy to exactly what you have been doing, is spending every minute you can, whether it's passing out flyers, advocating on your channel, whether it's searching, whether it's conducting interviews, everything you're doing, just keep doing it for Sebastian.
That's my goal, is to find him. You know, there's very, I don't have to say my son, I don't have to tell my son I love him. He knows I love him. But I think about the last phone call I had with him that Thursday before. And it's like, I tell him I love him at the end of every phone call. Because not only the profession that I've been in, every day is not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And that's one of the things that I've always told him at the end of every phone call, all that sort of stuff. So I know that he knows that I love him because I tell him. And I just want him to call me. I want him to call 911. I want somebody to see him so I can come get him. I've had people ask me about his name. Well, Sebastian stands for revered. Drake has always been, he's my little dragon. My dad's name is Wayne. That's where that came from. But he's always been my revered little dragon. His Aunt Sharon, may she rest in peace, she called him Drake. That's all she ever called him. You know, and it's just, I gave him his name, and I just hope that he's still here. You know, I see a lot of people talk about he's dead. And it's like, I'm going through enough shit. I don't need, sorry, Tony. I'm going through enough stuff that it's horrible. I see it there and people are like, you know, I think he's deceased. And it's like, how can you say that? There's no evidence that he's deceased. There's no evidence at all. Putting that in the air is just wishing horrible things on a child that is missing. And if you think that, you're not looking for it. If you think that he is deceased, you're not out there looking. When a group of kids walk by, you're not looking to see if one of them is Sebastian. You're not actually paying attention to the children to see if Sebastian is one of them. Because you already have it in your mind that he's not here. Well, I know he's not here in my house, but damn it, I believe that he's still alive. And I will keep the faith that he is until proven otherwise. Because my son deserves that. He deserves even more than that. And it really just, so many negative people out there just really.
Seth, you made the comment that that there's no evidence at all that he's deceased, and that is 100% accurate. There is zero evidence that he's deceased. But what do you say to these people that we keep hearing over and over again that say, well, I don't know why people are blaming this person or that person or whatever. There's absolutely no evidence at all in any way, shape, or form. What do you say to that? From what you know and what you've seen and what you can talk about, what do you say to the people that say that Well, there's just, by golly, there's no evidence.
Lack of evidence is evidence in itself. I see where particular people are guilty of abuse, negligence. My son's not here because they weren't doing their job as a parent. They don't deserve children.
Redeem your Ladbrokes on free bet spins or even cash in for real money. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's. Let's rock.
18 plus. Participate in selected promotions to get Ladbrokes.
And unfortunately, one of those is my ex. I don't know what happened to her. She was not always like that.
Seth, a little more specifically, we're obviously not going to talk about anything we can't talk about. But you know the contrary. You know there's a mountain of evidence, correct?
Yes.
And you know that all the people that make it seem like that Sumner County just has nothing and that they don't have a clue and there's just, you know, it's just, it disappeared like a unicorn, poof. None of that's true, correct?
That's correct. Children don't just disappear.
Sumner and County. Sumner County hasn't been fooled here, have they?
No, they haven't. They have not. I'm communicating with them almost every day. And obviously, from my understanding, she had her attorneys at her interview. I don't have attorneys sitting here telling me how to answer questions. I'm not going to sit here and say that they don't know what's going on or that they do know what's going on. I just know that they are working this case to bring my son home. And they are working it, and they have information.
If I can jump in really quick.
Sure.
I saw.
I need to blow my nose.
That I actually not just an interview, multiple interviews on a local station, I'll just say. I have never seen anything so misleading in many investigations. For those of you who may not have watched it, it was unbelievable.
Nick Barris, Channel 5?
No, it was.
Okay.
And I won't even say the channel, but they literally had on the Proudfoot's paid private investigator who, in my opinion, and this isn't about him, it's about the misleading information that was broadcast. It was shocking to me about
the video.
Yes, the shadowy figure. And, you know, this could really mean something. This could turn the case around. And then
whatever actually happened to good journalism?
So many have reached out to say that is absolutely no. It is not evidence of somebody who took Sebastian. And actually, that PI got on television and said that they were trying to figure out whether that could be Sebastian. Did you hear that?
He could be the break in the case.
Break it, but not just a break in the case, like somebody taking Sebastian, but, you know, that could be him, like walking or whatever. That could be him. Most misleading thing I have seen in this case, and it's wrong. And just just bad, bad. So I wanted to touch on that because I really hope they retract that. I hope they come out and they say, we've learned more information. Even after they received a statement from Craddock, who is the sheriff now, he wasn't before, for those who don't know, but he's always been assigned this case and now he's the sheriff, but he's still the main guy for Sumner County. And Sumner County is still the main venue holder, right? They're still the lead. He came out and told them, no, we have analyzed that. We had it within the first 72 hours. That person, it's not involved. It is not evidentiary in this case. And they came back even so and went to a clip of the Proudfoots. And then they responded, well, no matter what they say, you know, we still think it could be a break in the case. You know, until they prove to us it's not, we still think it could be. Is this some sort of distraction? Do I have some to throw to say, you know, look over there? You know, is that what that is? Look over here.
It's what it seems to me.
Because that whole piece was so misleading and it was wrong. And so I'm sorry. I had to jump on that because that doesn't help find Sebastian when wrong information is being put forward as legitimate. There could be nothing further from being legitimate than
that. What gets me really about that so-called PI is the fact that he spends more time on social media putting out false information that does not help locate or find Sebastian. While I have PIs that you won't find them on social media. You won't find my PIs on social media because they understand the private part. They also understand that my private eyes are in communication with a CSO. Anything that comes in through Dog and Nick's team that comes into us goes to my PI. My PI goes and filters it through all the others that we've already received tips to make sure we're not getting duplicate tips, and then turns around and feeds it to SCSO and feeds it to me and my team. And then we track down rabbit holes. That is the whole point of having a private investigator, is to go through all the tips, make sure which ones are valid, and track them down.
And I can tell you that we love our PI dearly, but if they got on social media and attacked the mother, regardless of how we feel about her, it would be the last day she worked for us, period.
Yeah, exactly right. It serves no purpose. I understand putting forth facts, and we've talked a lot, and I know I've talked a lot about the abuse because I'm appalled. And I hope when Sebastian is found, that is looked at very closely and reconsidered in terms of the ability for those parents to be around Sebastian without being monitored. I mean, that's my main point of that. It's, you know, it was an abusive environment and he should never be allowed to return to that in my opinion, at least without people watching, having somebody there.
When I find him, he won't be going back. He'll be over my dead body.
Well, you have a lot of information now to work with. And so, you know, the courts are going to look at this, I think, a lot more closely now that all this new information has come out. And the fact that it's being spotlighted. I mean, how many cases go on forever and ever and ever? And, you know, the Department of Child Services, each state, they're called something different, but CPS.
Wait, here's something. Like, when I requested those records and they told me I had to have an attorney, request those records? Because I went online, submitted the request, and then they told me I needed to have an attorney. But I did that on a Wednesday, and on a Friday, they terminated the lady on the DCS reports. So you know that she did wrong, so you terminate her. So what? I mean, if that doesn't scream, you know, we didn't do our job, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I mean, there's just huge department issues in DCS across the nation. We've seen it in multiple cases. Look at Harmony Montgomery, dead for years and nobody knew it. They were still paying checks out. But I'm not trying to detract. I'm just trying to say in this case will put a spotlight not only on that issue now, but if he's found, spotlight there. And I think it will help make sure that he's in a healthy environment if he's found, Seth. And I think we can all look forward to that. I wanted to touch base, if you guys don't mind, on some of the things said in another interview on another station. And I wanted to focus in on this criminal matter, whether this is a criminal matter or whether it's not a criminal matter. This is a no-brainer. It really is. First of all, the minute you say it's an Amber Alert, that innately means that he was taken. Now, whether that...
I have one question for that. Yeah. You're ex-FBI, all right?
Retired.
I'm sorry, retired.
No problem. It's like a Marine, right? No ex-Marines.
Once a jarhead, always a jarhead. Semper Fi. You're a retired FBI. Explain the CARD team.
Yes, the CARD team. This is a great team. They actually come together. They're FBI agents, only FBI agents, and they report pretty much immediately upon request. So the minute a local department calls them, they go on scene and immediately help hide local law enforcement in missing children cases. And they're amazing. They usually lead the interviews. They lead what should happen. And they're very on scene and on hands. The best thing is when they're contacted within hours, because they deploy and dispatch and go there. And they have all these resources. And the biggest thing they have, Seth, is this is what they do. Like, as an example, I did SWAT. That's what I did, you know, as my extracurricular activity after I did my cases, or, you know, that's how it works in the Bureau. You have these extracurricular. CARD team members have full-time agent jobs putting bad guys in jail. But when the bell rings, that's what we call it. When the bell rings, that means you're in the middle of a, you know, tacos with the family. You leave and you respond and you deploy to that situation. And so that's what the CARD team does. And they are experts in the missing child realm.
No. Can you explain the acronym, Jen, to the public?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that of me. I'm so sorry. I'm going to pull it up. I don't want to get it wrong. It is the child. Sorry. Child Abduction Response Team. So,
here's my one question.
Response team. And I apologize. Go ahead.
No problem. Why would the CARD team not be activated?
Well, this is the problem. Like with all cases that have local venue, in other words, doesn't involve crossing state lines, it's not an actual kidnapping case, it doesn't have terrorism, it doesn't happen aboard a plane, a train, or a boat, reservation, government installation. The venue lies with the local authorities, Seth. And when the venue lies with the local authorities, it's up to the local authorities to activate and to make that phone call. And a lot of times, sometimes that happens because you have to have a great relationship with the FBI and vice versa. You know, are those what we call SRAs? Are those agents going out and making contact with the locals so that when something like this happens, the locals want to call? They're like, I mean, because they have coffee together and they lunch together and they work on cases together. So it's, hey, Tom, oh my gosh, I've got a missing child. Can you get the CAR team out here? We need them. And so that's simply why.
So Jen, is it possible that, and I'm just trying to be fair, is it possible that because, and you and I have talked about how many of these autistic children that go missing and what the normal percentage is that are actually runaways, which is high. So we've got them treating this as a runaway situation for the first 72 hours. Could that have had something to do with not calling people in right away because they were working off that theory the first 3 days?
100%, but everybody has a different way they work cases. There are some people that are just so proactive, and I believe that's how it should always be. In other words, you should always treat a case as if there is foul play and work your way backwards from that. Until it can be proved it's not foul play, it's foul play. So that means you get a warrant for the house. That means you process. And it's difficult because a lot of these departments are so small, but that's why it's important to call in a CART team. The other thing is they are expert interviewers. They have seen hundreds of cases and interviewed parents and can get a really good feel. And they want to get that interview done ASAP. So not only the interview, but the polygraph. Everyone should have been polygraphed within the first 24 hours. Period. End of story.
I'm an attorney, but I.
Bye. What's up?
No, go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen. So I think it seems to me this, and it reminds me so much, and people might not like it when I say this, so much of the Summer Wells case, right? The Summer Wells case where it wasn't treated like something had been wrong. And it was really handled in some ways quite similarly. And
yeah, I refuse to let my son become a Summer Wells.
Well, the good thing is everybody isn't going to let that happen, Seth. We're not going to let you down. We're going to keep his face and name out there. Well, it was similar to me.
The only thing I can say is Summer Wells really didn't have family fighting for her. And that's sad. And I'm going to fight tooth and nail for my son.
Agree. And that will be the difference maker. That will be the difference maker. So hopefully
Seth,
you answered the question.
No, you did, Jen. Thank you for that. So Seth, before you get into sharing what you're going to share tonight, I'm assuming you're still doing that, correct?
Yeah, people have wanted to hear Sebastian. I don't have anything with him being 15. When me and Katie separated during the divorce, Sebastian would call my phone. And I wouldn't always answer my phone because sometimes when you're at work, you can't answer your phone at times. Or if I was asleep, I wouldn't hear it ring. And he would leave me voicemails. And I've got several voicemails. I've probably got like 8 or 9. And I just never deleted his voicemails because I didn't see the point of deleting them. And now I'm thankful I didn't, because I still get to hear him. I get to hear Sebastian before his life took a turn and bad things started happening to him. And I'm going to share a couple of those with Sebastian's Army. You were asking a question, though, Tony.
Well, while you're getting that together, you know, before you play those, it's certainly not a tit for tat, but there was a great question that was asked the other night in Katie's interview that, so I want to ask you, what do you miss most about Sebastian?
Everything. I miss him asking me questions. I miss him taking a shower until there's no more hot water. The bathroom is so steamed up. And then all of a sudden, the water stops, and I'm like, well, how long is he going to be in the bathroom? I only have one bathroom. So, you know, one bathroom, you need to hurry up, because if I got to use the bathroom, you need to hurry up. And walking in, and he's literally curled up on the floor. The bathroom is all steamed up. He's laying on a towel, and he's covered up with another towel, and he's just sitting there. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he was like, it's warm in here. And I'm like, well, it's warm out there, too. He was like, yeah, but it's warm in here.
He made a sauna.
You know, it's, yeah, a sauna. Really, I mean, walk in, you can see the moisture dripping off the walls and stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, are you done? Because I got to use the bathroom. He was like, I guess. I mean, I miss everything about him. I miss the attitude he would give me. I'd give him shit too. But, you know, that's father and son relationship. You know, I miss taking him to go fishing, and I would have to bait this up because the worm is icky and it's dad, it's bleeding, you know? And it's like, well, son, it's a living thing. You have to put it on the hook. You know, I miss everything. I miss our late night trips or early morning trips to go to Waffle House. I mean, I miss taking them to go play magic. Play D&D. I miss all the things that would light him up. It's just, my life is nothing. You know, when you sit there and you're right, Tony, I only had him for 2 or 3 days. I didn't live. I worked. I worked until I got him on the weekends. When I got him on the weekends, that's when I got to live. The rest of the time, it was just work, make money. So that way, when I had him, we could do whatever he wanted to do. I remember at one point in time, I gave him money. And then I had to take him back to there. And they were at Red Lobster eating dinner, and that's where I was supposed to drop him off. And I dropped him off. And then all of a sudden, like 45 minutes later, I get a phone call from Chris. Did you give Sebastian money? And I'm like, yeah. Well, are you sure you gave him money? Yeah, I gave him 40 bucks, 20 bucks, 40 bucks. I just gave him some money. Why wouldn't I? If there's something he wants, why wouldn't he be able to have to get it? You know, here he's got a wallet. It's got his ID. It's got his fishing license. It's got his bank card, everything here. So why wouldn't I give him money? So that way when he's not here, if he wants something at school, because he had told me he wanted stuff from school, you know, and I'm like, hey, here's some money. If you want to get something from school, that's fine. Just don't spend it all on candy. You know, knowing full well he's probably going to spend it all on candy, but calls me up like he's not supposed to have money. or yeah, that's I see it in chat. He was like, "Oh, just making sure he didn't, you know, steal money from you." I wouldn't have given a rat's. There's money laying around on my table. There's money on the, there's money sitting here on my desk. I'm the only one that lives here. When Sebastian's here, anything that is mine is his. You know, as long as you don't go into my wallet and take it. I mean, there are times that I would literally tell him, why don't you clean the house? Well, I don't want to. Make you a deal. You clean the house, you can have whatever money you find. Oh, okay. And he would clean the house. You know, it's not that he's going to do, you know, a perfect job, but he's going to pick things up and he's going to organize it and he's going to ask me where things go. And he's so we're going to communicate and he's going to learn some organizational skills. And then he would find money and he would be like, I found $5. Okay. What are you going to do with it? Put it in my wallet. Sounds good. Put it in your wallet. You know, I've got a jar. You find change, put change. You find change around the house, put it in the thing. He would do that. Then we would sit there, and on days we would pour it all out on the table, and I've got change rollers. So we'd sit there and count out the change, and then we'd pack up rolls, 50 cents for the pennies, you know, $10 for the quarters, $5 for dimes, $2 for nickels, and I mean, it all adds up to life skills.
Seth, I have a question for you. Did you, not to bring this down, because those are all such beautiful things and we so often take all that for granted, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly with our kiddos that we get to enjoy daily. But I want to ask a question. Did you know, before all of this started, did you know about Sebastian and his responsibilities to clean up the room and that he didn't clean up the room and he would have his things taken and then he didn't clean up the room again correctly or what was expected and that Chris Proudfoot took everything, put it in a box and threw it away, got rid of it? Did you know anything about that?
At one point in time, it was brought up to me, and it was brought up to me. I have a tub of Sebastian's toys, but Sebastian loses pieces of toys. So he's got an arm of a figurine in the thing, or he's got the zip cord for the Spider-Man, you know, vehicle. And it's like, he wasn't listening, so I took away some of his toys. Okay. Don't touch any of the stuff that I bought him. If I bought it for him, it's not your place to take it. Don't take it away. Don't throw it away. If you don't want it there anymore, you let me know. But every time I went over there, Sebastian had rack with all of his toys, so I could see all of his toys. I didn't know that they were throwing away toys because he wouldn't pick them.
Yeah, I was just curious.
If it's broken, then obviously if it's broken and can't be fixed, you should throw it away. And you should explain to Sebastian, hey, you broke it. It's no longer whole. I can't fix it. So now you have to throw it away. That's how you should communicate with him so he knows that, hey, you take care of your stuff and then you don't have to throw it away because it don't get broken. And that's
right. And I get it. Like, I mean, my mom, if I left my stuff on the floor, she'd pick it up and she'd take it and I'd have to buy it back. You know, 5 cents for this, 10 cents for that. But no one, I had never heard of a parent, and I'm talking about what we know about Chris Proudfoot now, of throwing away a child's things as a punishment, because that is so invasive And so
it just means you don't own anything. It means you don't have anything. And therefore anything and everything can be taken away from you at any point in time for no reason at all. That is not how you build. That's not how you do structure for a child, whether they're autistic or not.
Well, and it's permanent, right? It's permanent damage. A parent may not look at it as damage, but those are the prized possessions of that child. So, you know, if they're put up or you got to buy them back, then it's a life lesson. But when they go out with the trash, it's permanent and there's no coming back from that. And, you know, without being able to look at things through a child's eyes, I mean, you know, it may seem like a plastic toy to a parent, but, you know, that may be something that is like Linus's blanket for a child that, you know, he's not happy without. So it just seems awfully permanent.
Well, to me, it shows, this is quite simply where I was going with this. It shows lack of empathy. And when I see lack of empathy in a parent toward a child, it just opens up possibilities. I'll leave it at that.
A lot of negative possibilities.
But let's hear Sebastian's voice. This is so cool that you kept these.
This one was May 16th, 2017. I don't know if you guys can hear this or not, so you have to let me know if you can.
Just needed to call up.
Hold on.
Hi, Daddy. I'm sorry it took too long. Please call. I love you. Bye.
It just started.
Hi, Dad. I know this is getting family, but tomorrow's picnic day. So could you send some decent clothes over to me so that I can rent the decent clothes and be handsome for my
birthday? I'm sorry, we don't have decent clothes.
Mom, do you let me wear whatever I want to wear for picnic day?
Oh, sorry. Clothes for picture day.
Mom.
Okay.
I need some decent clothes. Will you please send decent?
Thank you, Seth.
I'm sorry.
So his voice hadn't changed yet. Or had it changed by the time he was 15?
It did. His voice started to change about 14 and a half years old.
Precious.
I can't do this anymore.
Bye, Seth. Thank you. Thanks for sharing your heart.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for sharing his voice. I'm sorry, Seth.
I just gotta find you. I just gotta find myself. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, you all.
Good night.
Redeem your lab bucks on free bet spins or even cash in for real money. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's. Let's rock.
18 plus. Participate in selected promotions to get lab bucks.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.